Some of you will know that over the past couple of months, I have been on a sabbatical, which is an extended period of time off that vicars get to recharge their batteries. And one of the things that I did during that time was I had a family holiday to Italy. Now, when we go on holiday, my husband, who's here, and I, we have a different approach to travelling. You see, he likes to get to the airport really, really early so that we can go through security and passport control in good time and then get to the gate well before the gate closes so we can sit there for ages just twiddling our thumbs. No, so that we're there in good time. I, on the other hand, the moment I get to the airport, my holiday begins. So I want to go around the shops, I want to bag a bargain, I'd like to get something nice to eat, I'd like to have a nice coffee, and then I will stretch it out as long as I possibly can until there's about 7 minutes till the gate closes, and then I have a very swift walk to get there on time. As you can imagine, those two different approaches create a little bit of travelling tension, which is always a fabulous way to start a family holiday. Now, today's Bible reading, the one that we just heard, has two different approaches to timekeeping in it. On the one hand are the people who follow the instructions, who arrive in good time, because actually they can't wait to get on holiday, and they just don't want to miss the plane. On the other hand are the people who assume that the plane and the passengers will wait for them because, well, they've booked a seat, so surely the aeroplane can't leave without them. Let me just tell you, it really can. In the Bible reading, the image isn't of passengers going off on holiday. It's actually the image of guests who have been invited to a feast, maybe guests who've been invited to a baptism party. But some of the guests find that they are denied entry to the feast because they turn up too late. So what's it all about? What does this mean? Why does Jesus tell this story? Well, the image of the feast stands for God's kingdom. You might want to call that God's family. And the guests who are invited are God's chosen people, the Jews. The problem is that some of God's people have taken that invitation for granted. You might go so far as to say that they have a sense of entitlement. They've assumed that because of who they are, they've assumed that because of their long history that's written about throughout the Bible, that they have got a guaranteed seat on the plane. And they are convinced that the plane won't leave without them. But unfortunately, in this story, like in reality, that's not the case. And it's almost as if God has been announcing over the tannoy, warning them that the gate will be closing soon, but they have chosen not to listen, because they can't be bothered. In verse 24, Jesus says, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." If you want to get on the flight, you have to get to the gate on time. And Jesus is basically saying, if you really want to be part of God's kingdom, if you really want to be part of this family of God and all that it stands for, then live in such a way that your life reflects that priority, that your life reflects that desire. It isn't enough just to have the boarding card in your pocket or on your phone. You have to be listening for God's announcements. You have to respond to him when he calls. Now, if Jesus was delivering this message today, I think what he would say is that actually there are people who call themselves Christians, but when you look at their lives, they don't act like Christians. It isn't enough just to call yourself a Christian. If your faith is real, if your faith really means something to you, then it will be reflected in the way that you live. So calling yourself a Christian doesn't guarantee you a place in God's kingdom. Now, I wonder how you feel about what Jesus is saying here. Maybe you think his message is fair. Perhaps you're like my husband. Well, it does tell you to get to the gate on time. Or maybe it feels a bit harsh, like, oh, come on, could there not just be a little bit of leeway here? Why is Jesus always so prescriptive? Why do we always have to do what he says and follow what he says? And I think for some people, the image of the narrow door, which is talked about in this Bible reading, is a little bit of an unappealing image. Because certainly for me, that phrase, narrow, and the idea of a narrow door that I have to squeeze myself through, well, I associate that with the idea of being constricted. And then it makes me think of certain expressions of Christianity that seem rather narrow as well. Why would I want to enter through a narrow door if it leads to a life which is lacking in freedom and if it restricts the freedom of others. But that's not actually what it says here. Because if you think about what Jesus is saying, he's saying that on the other side of this narrow door, there's a feast. So he's saying, if you decide to be a Christian, if you commit yourself to live as a Christian, then that decision will lead you through that narrow door to a place of freedom and delight and abundance. What the narrow door is doing is it's forcing you to think about how you're living. It's forcing you to make a decision. You can't just unthinkingly breeze through a narrow door. If you want to pass through it, you have to do it consciously. So yes, it does force you to make a decision. But on the other side, there's this incredible freedom. And I know that to be true because that has been borne out in my own life. I said at the start that I've recently been on sabbatical and had this period of extended leave. And during that time, I did all sorts of different things. One of the things that I did was I went interrailing. I travelled around Europe on the train, and I travelled by myself as well. So I went to 8 different destinations across Europe, starting in Amsterdam and then finishing up in Naples because I wanted to go to Pompeii. And it's the sort of thing that a lot of people do in their late teens or their early 20s, but it was something that I never did. The other thing I did was I went on a mountain navigation course in Snowdonia, which meant I spent 5 days scrabbling up very steep sections of mountain and learning to use a compass and a map correctly, not just follow my husband. Now, what's interesting about those two things is that actually 20 years ago, I would never have had the courage to go travelling by myself. 20 years ago, I actually would have been too scared to travel around Europe by myself. And although I love mountains, I am actually afraid of heights. And again, my family would be able to tell you the multiple times on holiday where we've been on a tiny narrow path with a big steep drop, and I've basically had a sort of meltdown come panic attack where I've gone, "We're all going to die," and been terribly melodramatic. So it's really interesting that I have done two things that I would never really naturally have done. So what's changed? Well, the answer is that I have changed, actually. And I would say the reason that I have changed is because of the way in which God has been at work in my life. I was frightened of those things for all sorts of reasons, very valid reasons, and yet I find I am no longer constrained by the fears that I had in the past. Because God has been and is setting me free from those fears. And that means there is a new freedom and spaciousness in my life. And rather than God kind of closing down my world and making my world narrow, God has actually been opening up my world and giving me a kind of new spirit of adventure and of curiosity and of courage. And it's not something that's happened overnight. It has happened over a matter of years, but I noticed it during my sabbatical. And I think that's incredible. At a stage of life, I'm in my early 40s, I wasn't expecting the world to open up to me. In fact, actually, I was expecting the world to kind of become pedestrian and the same and predictable, and quite the opposite has happened to me. I have got an appetite for life like never before. When you choose to be a Christian, it does not narrow your world. Quite the opposite. When Jesus tells people to make every effort to enter through the narrow door, he isn't trying to be controlling or restrictive. He's urging people not to miss out on what he has for them on the other side of the door. So if you want God to open up your world, if you want God to open up your life, if you have fears that are constricting your life and holding you back, then I would say respond to God's call. Take the steps that you need to take to allow God to be at work in your life. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying this, "God, change me." You know, one of the key moments for me in discovering this new sense of adventure was going forward for prayer on a Sunday morning in one of our services. It was over at St. Peter's, and our church warden, Angela, said a one-line prayer for me. And yet I look back at that and think, gosh, that was really significant. Not her magic words, but the fact I just went, "Do you know what, God? Please change some of these things in me that have been the same for 30 years. So I guess what I'm saying in some senses is, if you come to church on a Sunday morning, it actually can change your life. The encounter that with God that you can have here on a Sunday morning can change your life. And coming back from sabbatical, I want to bring that same spirit of adventure into my work as a vicar, into my ministry. Don't worry, I'm not suggesting that we swing from the rafters. I know we're not a very swinging from the rafters church. We like a little bit of swinging from the rafters, but not too much. So that's not what I'm talking about, rest assured. But I think what I'm saying is, I want to take my sense of curiosity and courage and spirit of adventure, and I want to find new ways of connecting with people, new ways of telling them about who God is. I want to find new people, new expressions of being church. I think what I'm saying is, I don't want other people to miss out on the feast that is on the other side of the narrow door. For each of us, the things that we experience on the other side of that narrow door will be different. What God has for you on the other side of the narrow door is different from what God has for me. But what I can say with confidence is that it won't be narrow. It actually will expand your world, metaphorically, if not literally. So, it's not enough just to have a boarding card. If you want to get to your destination, then get to the gate on time. If you're wondering if God is there, if you're wishing God might do something, then put yourself in a place where that might happen. Make some time to talk to God, or listen to God, or think, or read, or reflect. So don't waste a minute. Let God in, and let God be at work in your life. Because who knows what might happen. Amen.